Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I've been waiting all day to talk to my next guest because today, big news on the Russia front as Joe Biden is putting new sanctions on Vladimir Putin and the Russians. But this story about this Konstantin Kalinnik has popped up again. And the polling data that we've been talking about for the last several years that we, everyone knew came from Manafort to Konstantin Kalinnik. And what did he do with it? Open for speculation. Now they're saying right to the FSB. And here to share some thoughts on, well, what Joe Biden has done, good, bad, indifferent, I've asked our good friend Sarah Kendzior to come talk with us. Sarah's a writer, scholar, co-host of the fabulous podcast Gaslit Nation. Make sure you check out her books, A View from Flyover Country and Hiding in Plain Sight. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So let's start with the Biden sanctions. Good thing, bad thing, thoughts?
Generally good. I mean, actions speak louder than words. We've had people say there's going to be sanctions before and they don't actually follow through. But obviously, this is a different type of administration because it's not run by a transnational crime syndicate fronted by a Kremlin asset. So there's the chance that they might actually do something. And so, there are a number of statements today from Blinken, from Yellen, from Biden that addressed a lot of the things that I've been worried about, sanctioning oligarchs, cybersecurity, attacks on elections, attacks on our infrastructure. And so I'm very glad that they acknowledged these problems exist. This is something that the Democrats in general have had trouble acknowledging, the severity of. Obviously, the Republicans simply cheered it on. I think that's a step in the right direction. I think speaking to the American people about it is a good thing. Being more assertive towards Russia is a good thing. I'm waiting to see how it plays out because the crisis we're in is very deep. It's a very severe national security crisis. And our institutions were compromised from within, and that includes the Treasury, the State Department, the FBI. And so it's going to be difficult, I think, to try to carry out these actions when there are very likely complicit actors still within those institutions.
Now, one of the things that, someone had asked me today, is this proof that Trump and the Russians were in contact? Is this the smoking gun? Is this the proof?
Oh, for the love of God, I've been giving the smoking gun, we're on year five of the smoking gun. And like the reason the gun's still smoking is because no one will take away the gun. The gun keeps getting fired. Trump and Michael Flynn and Roger Stone and Paul Manafort all still have the smoking gun. I mean, this is ridiculous. Like someone brought up Kalinnik today. I was able to cite a passage from my book in which I describe Manafort and Kalinnik, exchanging this polling data in at 666 Fifth Avenue, the building formerly owned by Jared Kushner, and it's like in a book I wrote in 2019, and I was citing other people's work. They had already reported it. I found clips of myself on television discussing it in 2018. Like, people have memory hold so much information. They've memory hold Konstantin Kalinnik. They've memory hold the Mueller report. They've memory hold like all of these incredibly blatant associations between Trump and his partners and the Russian government and the Russian mafia and Trump's 40 years of history with the Russian mafia. I mean, they memory hold the first impeachment, which was, about Trump shaking down Ukraine on behalf of the Kremlin. Like, my Lord, it's nothing but smoking guns. It's like a freaking arsenal. Like, I don't know what more people need. Well, I know what they need, actually. They need people to be indicted. They need accountability. They need this to be talked about in a straightforward way. Although I found when, people talk about it in a straightforward way, like I do, and like Andrea Chalupa does with me on Gaslit Nation, everyone gets very furious with us. Maybe they won't anymore. Maybe they'll finally, get up and protect this country. We'll see.
No, we'll see. And I see this as, again, we're in this polarized world where, the right, I heard whining and complaining that this is just Joe Biden playing politics. I'm going, no, this is stuff that we've been talking about for years now. There's no surprise here.
Well, yes. And it's also, this is nonpartisan. Like, I know people like to think that a coup, a attack on the Capitol, a purposeful spread of a plague is like a partisan issue. But, you know, Republicans and conservatives are dying in those situations, too. If there's a cyber attack on American infrastructure, which is something I've been worried about for a long time, you know, Russia did hack our infrastructure, did, you know, commit the worst cyber attack on U.S. On the U.S. in its history in 2020. To my knowledge, that attack is still ongoing. It's not going to be like the blue states and the blue cities that suffer. You know, these demarcations are not that strong to begin with, but it's like we all suffer as Americans when elite criminal impunity continues and when hostile foreign states attack us. And so it's not even in the self-interest of, you know, Republicans or people who hate Democrats or whatever you want to define yourself as to be against what the Biden administration is doing. I think it's rational to be against war, to be against military action. That's not what they're proposing. They're proposing sanctions and cybersecurity, you know, defense of our critical infrastructure. Like, those are rational policies that are only hitting oligarchs and elites. It's like everyone's rightfully bitching about the awful elites. Well, you know, that's who's getting slammed here. It's people like Konstantin Kilimnik. You know, it's like everybody should be for the policies that were laid out by Biden and Yellen. I don't know how Putin and the Kremlin are going to react to them, but I was glad that I did not think they were like strident or militaristic. I do not want war with Russia. I'm adamantly against any kind of, you know, real military conflict, but I'm very much worried that the new terrain is, you know, cyber warfare. That's what I'm concerned about. So I'm glad a lot of the focus was on that.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, but what do you do when, if it escalates to that next point? How far do you take this? I mean, you know, I've been surprised over the years how much the Republican Party has bought into the Putin, you know, line and you know, been really more pro-Russia than they have anything else. I've been surprised by this because I grew up during the Cold War. I grew up with that's an enemy. You know, trust but verify, all of that stuff. And yet we were told, you know, no, there's no collusion, none of that stuff. And now we're finding out all that stuff was, well, true.
Of course it was true, but it was also something that was to be expected because Russia under Putin is incredibly similar to the Russian party. I mean, to the Republican Party ideologically, and also in terms of the financial goals of the backers of both those parties. You know, they're backed by the same people. They're backed by, you know, transnational criminal elites, and they also share, you know, an interest in white supremacy. They want to control countries demographically. They exploit evangelical, you know, groups, Russian Orthodox groups. They are misogynistic. They like to, you know, prop up this kind of hyper masculine, you know, heroes. They know how to use propaganda. They use the same companies often, you know, to create propaganda, to do data mining. Like, they've been in cahoots for a long time. And, you know, I mean, it's like the Cold War ended 30 years ago. Like, Russia has been an independent country and a hyper-capitalist country for 30 years, and that's what the Republicans like about it. They saw all those oligarchs go in and just pick up the scraps and profit off of the wreckage of not just Russia, but other former Soviet states, you know, making incredible amounts of money with very few laws. And that's like the Republican dream, is to make tons of money with no regulation. I mean, that's it. And so they saw them, you know, wilding out over in the former USSR. You know, certain people like Paul Manafort were there. You know, they were profiting off of this directly. And I think a lot of Republicans saw that going on and they were like, yeah, you know, that's awesome. Like, let's get on board with that. Let's make America more like Russia. Like, let's have total corruption that's, you know, institutionalized, that's state sanctioned. And we're already corrupt. I mean, you know, the U.S. was already going in this direction and it just accelerated to an incredible degree over the last 20 years.
Yeah, and most certainly over the last four. So now that Trump, the former guy, is gone, and Biden is making this move, any bringing, going back after the Mueller report and bringing those people to justice, or is this just going to be a let sleeping dogs lie?
I mean, they should. They should absolutely, you know, reuse the Mueller report. You know, obviously the House under Nancy Pelosi did absolutely nothing with it. They didn't even bring up obstruction of justice charges. The main thing I would like to see is that since the Kilimnik connection with Manafort is established yet again, I mean, we already knew it, but it's like even more rigidly defined. I think it's time to bring new charges for Paul Manafort, who was, you know, set free and shouldn't have been because he's extraordinarily dangerous. And, you know, there are a number of things you can bring him up on, but this is one. And, you know, they need to do a real investigation. Like, Mueller did not do a real probe of Donald Trump and his criminal network and his or his connections with the Kremlin. He left out the entire context of how Trump even got involved with these people to begin with, you know, which goes back 40 years and involves a lot of, you know, high profile mafia players that the FBI, you know, allegedly was looking at for a while. And then, you know, a couple heads of the FBI, Louis Freeh and William Sessions, then just decided to go work for, you know, they went on to work for the Russian mafia. That's why they've been reluctant to look at all this, because it makes American institutions look terrible. They're either complicit or they are negligent. Like, nobody comes out looking good. But I'm like, too bad. You know, this is my country, and, you know, it's all our country, and it's their job, and they need to actually do it for once. And now we have the opportunity with that, with, you know, the Biden administration, and they should use this time wisely.
Yeah, to steal a Nixon quote, we need to know if our president was a crook. That's where my mind goes. But, you know, I'm looking at this polling data, and a lot of people are like, well, it's a big deal. This stuff is available. You could have gotten it anywhere. What kind of data are they talking about? And what did when Manafort gave it to Kilimnik, what do you think they did with it? Or what do we know he did with it?
I mean, they gave it to Russian intelligence. And then I think that they, you know, possibly rigged elections in certain states. There were tweets that Paul Manafort, after kind of temporarily going into hiding, made right before the election, talking about these states with very narrow margins of victory, you know, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, you know, a couple of others. And those were the ones where this played out. I think it's worth looking at Jenny Cohn's work on whether this election was legitimate. You know, there's all sorts of things they could do. Some of it might have had to do with propaganda operations, you know, which fall more toward the realm of illegality, though not working with a hostile foreign state. I mean, that is illegal. Like, what Paul Manafort did was simply illegal. You can't work with a Kremlin operative to rig a American election. But, you know, I have a lot of questions about the legitimacy of the wins in those states, and I've had those questions for 5 years. And people have been very reluctant to answer them because they're like, oh, it throws our election integrity, you know, into question. It's like, yeah, it was already in question. It was in question from the moment that Trump had a press conference in the summer of 2016 and said, Russia, can you get me Hillary Clinton's emails? And, then, you know, they basically did. Like, the connection was long established. This was an election that always had major problems. And they just, you know, they wanted to play pretend and pretend everything was okay. And then look what happened. You get a coup and 500,000 Americans dead. That's what happens when you play pretend.
Yeah, excellent point. But this, I want to go back to the internal data because, you know, as I understand it, you know, and I've worked on campaigns where you have your internal stuff that you don't share with many people. Giving that to a foreign actor, a hostile foreign actor, is really, really kind of bad. I mean, it's horrible, but it there's got to be some coordination, in my view, if you're doing that. There's got to be some benefit to turning out what internally you're polling on. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, Russia wanted, or not even wanted, Russia needed Donald Trump to be the president of the United States. And I think that this action between Manafort and Kilimnik is just one of very many things that they did to ensure that kind of win. And, you know, this is something that needs to be examined in a real investigation and presented to the public instead of, you know, just purely through speculation. But it was to every advantage to have an asset as the president of the United States. Like, you couldn't have a greater gift than that. And I always thought that this sort of argument of, oh, Russia just wanted to cause chaos and, you know, mix things up, and that's why they were hacking machines and, you know, and various U.S. institutions, and that's why they were hanging out with all the Trump guys in Trump Tower. It's like, no, you know, if they're going to make this effort, it's so that they can make money. It's so that they could get rid of sanctions. It's so that they could avoid the Magnitsky Act, which was sanctioning them. It's so that they could continue their territorial invasions into places like Ukraine with a, you know, a non- hostile U.S. Like if Hillary Clinton had won, she would have been adamantly against their Ukrainian invasion. She would have been doing the things Biden's doing now, you know, putting down sanctions, investigating, and so forth. And they really didn't want that. And Trump was tremendously beneficial to them. And it's a, you know, it's a logical choice for Russia, like extremely illegal, very, very bad, but logical. It's not hard to see why they did this at all. I mean, the horrible thing is that they got away with it.
And so far they have. Is there any chance the Republican Party comes around or are they just completely failed or complicit? I mean, because I got, you know, I know the DNC was hacked and I believe the RNC was as well.
Yeah,
you know, I guess I'm not seeing any help from that side of the aisle.
No, I mean, I think at this point it's too late for them. I think in 2017, if people had been more honest about what was happening in 2016 as well, then I think some Republicans would have come clean. I think a lot of the ones that might have come clean just simply dropped out of the party. I think that's like why Paul Ryan ran away, for example, because he knew how dirty this was. He was like, you know what? I'm like going to just call it a day. I mean, it's not like he did anything brave there, but I think he knew it was time to get out. At this point, there is so much dark money and there is so much Kremlin and mafia money mixed in through these proxies that donate to the Republican Party, in particular the NRA, you know, which was a subject of investigation for its work with the Kremlin, that I think they're all contaminated. Like, even if they weren't kind of full-on participants in coordinating with the Kremlin, they very likely receive dirty money. They'd be afraid of a real investigation. And so they're, you know, they're drawing a line. They're acting in lockstep. They're acting like an authoritarian party, which is what they are. And I think it's because quite a lot of them are afraid. But I wouldn't be surprised to see even more Republicans, you know, deciding not to run all of a sudden, just kind of trying to extract themselves from the field. The problem, though, is that you get people, you know, like my senators, like Josh Hawley, and then, of course, Roy Blunt is one of these Republicans who decided not to run. And I've got, you know, we've got Eric Greitens back, who, and they both have these connections to dirty NRA money, to, you know, to insurrectionists, to sedition, to crime. That's who's going to come in and take the place of these older Republicans who are trying to extract themselves from the situation. So it's a real, it's a terrible crisis.
I'm right there with you. Sarah, I appreciate you taking some time, sharing some thoughts. Look forward to talking to you again.
Okay, thank you.
Good stuff. Sarah Kendzior, make sure you check out the Gaslit Nation podcast, also her books, A View from Flyover Country and Hiding in Plain Sight. Good stuff. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.